Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 7:06 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, and welcome to our show. Welcome to our life.
Really? Can I just chime in? I know it could be protocol, but why not?
Okay. I mean, you know, I get in a rut here about how I start the show every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I change that rut?
Absolutely.
First of all, I needed my headphones to be turned up just a bit. Ladies, do you know what it feels like? I'm sure all of you do, and gentlemen, and men, and friends, what it's like when you have bad dreams, and the next morning you wake up and you're trying to figure out what the dreams mean, and then you share it with your spouse, and your spouse is understanding, but they're tortured dreams. Not about like torture, like chains and whips. I'm just talking about, you know, just tortured dreams about struggles and stuff like that. And so I just want to publicly thank you for being so supportive of the chaos in my mind at times.
I think it's because the dog kept wanting to get you.
Bob. Bob's going to weigh in.
Well, we're off to an interesting start. Good morning, y'all.
That's
good
a bad
morning.
Bob. Well, you know, people do have dreams, and I think that when you wake up in the morning, if your loved one is laying there next to you and says, you know, I didn't have a good night, and then the first thought that goes to your mind is, oh wow, is this, oh, this could be a long day, could be a long day, but no, it wasn't. It was started off great. Okay, hey, welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Well, I wonder if it's kind of just something that's going around because of, well, we're kind of in a place here with our country where we're feeling, in our government, we want so much change and we're not feeling change. And it's surrounding us on so many levels that I'm wondering if I'm the only one that is having dreams where I feel like I'm kind of stuck in that, you know, in that mud, that thing where you can't move forward. You know those dreams? Everybody's had those dreams where you're trying to run, you're trying to, and you can't.
I think it's a stress thing, and the weather the last few days certainly hasn't helped matters much.
I think that everybody has, you know, goes through a period of dreams like that. I never have, but I'm sure I will at some point. Hey, we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. And our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We've got a lot of time to discuss different topics today. Our guest at 8 o'clock is going to be Eric Widstrom. Coming in, we're going to be talking banking. We're going to be talking the things that are going on. Like, just as an example today, you know, you say things are bad, but the unemployment rate dropped for the first time in 4 weeks. It was up to 500,000 people. When I say unemployment rate, the number of people seeking unemployment.
Well, that's encouraging.
For the first time in a month went down. Last week is at 500,000, you know, like a new record, you know, for a while. And then the stock market tanked and then started to come back yesterday. But it also said is that food prices, or the inflation rate for food, is the lowest since 1992. So U.S. food prices are forecast to rise at their lowest rate since 1992. Now, that's the good part. You know, then the bad part, of course, is that it's because the economy is looking at might go downhill again. You know, that that we're not out of this recession. We're not even close to being out of this recession. We could turn right back into it. And that a number of things that have been planned aren't working. You don't know what it would have been without it. But you know that what's going on right now is going to be a real problem. But that even somehow got out of our order. When that happens, I mean, I haven't even introduced Bad Bob.
Okay.
Bad Bob.
Hmm? Good morning.
Well, you know,
we're off protocol.
You know,
here.
Guys have this thing. Okay, we're going to do this and this and my beautiful wife, Linda, you are very spontaneous.
Sometimes you have to wear brown socks. Okay, good morning. 74 degrees today is going to be a high of 99. You know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a particular person.
And who's that?
He was born on this day in 1873 in Council Bluffs, Iowa. We're sure his parents had big plans for him, but they could never have realized how their son, Lee, would change the world.
Mr. DeForest.
Yes, exactly right. Seemed to be a born inventor. He held patents for hundreds of different items, including the photoelectric cell and the surgical radio knife, but none had as much impact in the world as his invention of the electron tube, specifically the triode, a three-element vacuum tube which later became the Audion tube, possibly the most significant invention that made radio possible. Lee DeForest, born on this day, August 26, in 1873.
I wonder what he would be thinking right now if he was still alive.
Can I take it back?
I wonder if he'd be thinking. So he sits there and he listens to Michael Savage on one side, and he listens to Rachel Maddow on the other, and he goes, I didn't think I had this planned. This was not exactly in my sights when
Let's
I did that.
Let's get down to business rather than hearing this broad talk about how she feels.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break here. It's Carl and Linda Bonnie. Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm here with Donna Salon.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:14. And what a day already. We're moving forward. We talked about your dreams.
It was 110 yesterday.
110, a new record yesterday.
You think maybe that was it?
That could have been it.
I don't know.
You could have had heat stroke.
The chat room's open. I want to know if I'm not the only one that's been having these, you know, out there dreams. Anyway, we're taking your calls to 605-4567. It's always open line.
It's always open line.
You want me to go to this? Do you have something you want to rip open?
No, go on. You can talk about how the women are finally being treated like equals in the California Senate. You know, there's finally some equality there.
Well, seems that while Mercury soared to triple digits on Wednesday, the Assembly Sergeant-at-Arms began notifying women that a new policy requires them to wear a coat or sweater into the chamber. The new policy is squishy and written and still developing, but the goal is to fill in the gaps of a long-standing rule requiring visitors, credentialed media, and legislative aides to wear appropriate business attire on the assembly floor. No specifics were given for women until Wednesday, which means that you should cover your shoulders and basically include a coat or sweater with some distinct description for alternative business wear. Now, that's like the Catholic Church in certain places where you have to cover your head, but I will tell you a quick story about Santa Anita going to the presidential boxes or the private boxes up on the top, and I had a cute little polka dot halter dress. It was very classy. And I was on the elevator with Aaron and Candy Spelling. I did not know who they were. And she gave me the one up and down like I was some kind of tart. And I'm not kidding you. Carl's shaking his head. I'm on a roll. And so as soon as I thought I looked good, so I walk in, and the first thing that somebody does is hand me a seersucker white dinner jacket. And said, you are not allowed to have bare shoulders in the private boxes. So the rest of the day, I wore a white seersucker jacket. And so they had strict in the racing circles. Evidently, they have very strict rules they endorse as well. So I'm just saying that this probably goes back to an older law.
Well, one thing it says is that you have to have the men dress in suits or sports coats. They have business attire. Women had not been addressed. They did not have to wear coats or sweaters, so they could come in dressed the way they wanted to. They're just making it equal.
Yeah, because men have to wear a coat and tie.
Right. So they're just making it equal. That's what I said, is that women are finally reaching equality.
Yes.
Because if you don't, then it means they're of lesser. You say, oh, that's okay, you wear anything you want because you're cute. I mean, can you imagine telling Nancy Pelosi, hey, no, you're just cute? It doesn't work like that. How many marijuana dispensaries are there in Reading? I think there's 19. I'm helping with the question here. L.A., Los Angeles, what is it, the second largest city in the United States? Something like that, millions of millions. They announced Wednesday that only 41 medical marijuana dispensaries are eligible to stay in business under the city's ordinance. They thought there was going to be more, frankly, the city did. They had shut down more than 400, have been told to shut down. And it's because the city passed an ordinance back in January that said that dispensaries could not operate within 1,000 feet of a school or a park or other places that children would congregate, that the people that worked there had to do background investigations. And the big one was is that the marijuana itself had to be tested by an independent laboratory. Now, what's that mean? It just means is that they shut down every one of them except 41. Only 41 of them met those qualifications. Now, I don't think that those are really bad ordinances. When you think about it, you got, you know, the people that are doing a background check. Okay, I mean, this is medicine that's being handed out. So there should be background checks on people. Two, you can't congregate, can't have a business within 1,000 feet of a school or park or where children congregate. I think that can be reasonable. I mean, you know, people might get upset about that one. I don't feel real strong about that one way or the other, depending on what the alcohol laws are. But the last one, that the marijuana should be independently tested, is a great idea, because we're finding out that a lot of the marijuana here has not been tested. That people don't know where it comes from, and it's being grown with pesticides and other harmful chemicals. That here's somebody that goes down that has a legitimate medical concern and takes their medical marijuana and finds out, or don't know, but they're putting really harmful chemicals into their body, and that could be exasperating whatever they have. That pain may get worse. That spot on your lung could grow. Those lesions on your back could spread. Because you're taking miracle marijuana that's been grown with a pesticide that would kill an elephant if it just walked by the box. So, anyway, this leads to something else. Because, oh, you know what, we can have so many dispensaries, so I don't think there's going to be a lottery to see who can start the next dispensaries. I think the idea that marijuana is tested before we give it to people as a medicinal help and assistance, as you would any type of...
I think it should be a pill form?
Drug. Well, no, but it's already in a pill form. But people say, no, I don't want it in the pill form. I want that natural. Because the pill is not the same. And I, you know what? I'm not arguing with people that want to use medicinal marijuana or whatever. That's fine. But if you're going to use it and you don't know where it comes from, it could actually be harmful, I think.
Well, I remember hearing very recently a radio program. Again, I brought this up a few days ago. About marijuana that was growing in a volcanic ash-ish kind of soil, and how and this particular radio personality, who's very knowledgeable about these things, went on about what the ingredients in volcanic ash is, and to smoke that and get that into your lungs. He said it's very much like remember the Mad Hatter. They talk about the mercury.
Yeah, the mercury.
That the Mad
yeah.
Hatter, that the reason that these yeah. people who would make hats, they would stiffen the hats back in the days when they made hats. I don't know what era that was. They would go mad. And so thus the term Mad Hatter. And that's the same kind of...
substance that would be in your lungs.
That would be in your lungs. And that's what yeah. he thinks about. That's why a lot of people are walking around just in this altered, not just that high marijuana state, but... that it's really affecting people on a deeper chemical level.
Yeah, and this was, yeah, I've heard people say that. But again, it goes back to, if you're going to put something in your body, and you're calling it a medicine, and the government here is giving, you know, rules and regulations on how it can be sold and all of this, it should be tested. We got to take a break. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hello, this is Chef Cal, and I like...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot, 7:26 in the morning. Good morning. Hey, we got, you know, chat rooms hitting, and somebody said about the marijuana, about it needs to be tested. I think was it THC in it.
THC content is a major disservice to the users. This particular writer says I've seen people get no relief, and I've seen people use the same amount and get totally whacked out. That's interesting. But you wonder if it's from the same dispensary. So I'm wondering, because yesterday I was walking by a place and I saw people going in and out of a dispensary, and I thought to myself, I wonder if this particular dispensary says here, I think that they should all give the soil content and herbicides or pesticides or whatever is used.
I think they should do that. I mean, it should be anything that you're going to sell to people and that they ingest. And what if they get some that is not good?
Well, if you
about lawsuits? Can you sue the medical marijuana place that, or the dispensary, if you get some marijuana that has been treated with illegal pesticides and the THC content is sky high and it does things to you?
Well, like what's happening up in Hayfork. I mean, they're talking about, you know, they may own this particular individual or agency or whatever you want to call it, may own the property, but they are bringing in illegal substances from Mexico, meaning the pesticides that are being sprayed to get a fuller crop, perhaps, I mean, it's a healthier crop. And then that is seeping into the forest floor, which then goes into the rivers and streams.
And
so we're getting it. Whether we think we're getting it and it's not our problem, it is our problem.
In fact, we have our correspondents up there in Hayfork. I mean, we have more than one now because we've taken an interest in what's going on in the North State and up there in Trinity County. And the fact is that they're in all types of problems up there. You know, it's hits front page of the paper where, you know, the growth of it. You know, I've seen people have said, well, you know, clear cut, you know, can be good. Well, clear cutting under certain conditions, you know, according to loggers, could be. You know, I don't know about that. I don't study clear cutting. It seems like there could be better ways of doing it. But they're doing everything without permits, and then they're growing things without permits, and nothing is being done. The Cal Fire, Fish and Game Department is starting to try and do something, but they've got such a problem up here. And tomorrow we're going to have Doug Lamoff on. This is going to be one of the questions we're going to ask him. Is what do you plan on doing if you win, and you're the senator? What do you plan on doing about that condition up there, where people are living in fear because people are trying to make a profit off of marijuana?
I just want to share another thing about tap water versus bottled water. I mean, I used to be pretty much a snob about it. I'd never drink from the tap, and so I try to open my mind, especially since we've lived up here. So the other day I went someplace, there was no bottled water. I was so thirsty, I just grabbed a cup and I drank out of the faucet, and I found myself tasting chlorinated, whatever, and I thought, well, you know, when you're thirsty, okay, you get what you get. But what my mind went to was, I wonder how much, again, it went to because we cover stuff like this. I wonder if what is really in the water that I'm drinking that's coming down from the flow that's going into our water.
But they purify the water.
I sound like such a conspiracist, person at this point.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to get no more marijuana, no more conspiracy. We'll talk about a few other things about fundraising, and who do you want in your fundraising committee? And should that have an effect on the person? Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Off of Airport Road, Doug Tooley and his group of men. And Doug is growing out there because he does great work, great service. And he puts in Dish Satellite. He also puts in surround sound, home theaters. He's been doing this since 1985, except for the time he took off to be in the 82nd Airborne. He's a local man who is raising his family here and does guarantee his work. That's right, he guarantees his work. We had somebody call in yesterday that said, I used to work for him and I like him. And that, you know, unsolicited calls like that make us, it just drives home the fact that doing business with local people is a great idea. Local business, the money stays here, you buy local, you know, you dine local, you shop local, everything. You know, the money stays here. And Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite are a good reason that that happens. You can reach him at 244-1988.
Just like keeping your money local, tonight's Market Fest. How'd you like the little squeak in my voice? It's Market Fest from 5 to 9 with a band, what a phenomenal band, called Los Ingles at the Library Park. There's also a documentary film coming to town that's going to be tonight at 6 p.m. That is at the Joan Boudet Community Center. We're just kind of telling you what's going on around town. 7:30 tonight at the Post Office Saloon and Grill is the Shasta Blues Festival. Don't forget Movies in the Park. This is at the Convention Center tonight. And that begins at dusk. I wanted to talk about how interesting. We ran into a guy, a friend of ours yesterday. You always run into people in the parking lots, you know. And Peter Robbins, Dr. Peter Robbins, who has opened the Bohemian Loft, he and his lovely bride. And so Saturday at the Bohemian Art Loft is a musical that is original music. It's a drama set in a California prison. It's called Off the Hook. It's an original musical, and the cast is made up of ex-convicts.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, that would be an interesting story within a story.
It should be. That would be interesting to see how that worked. There could be other names for it.
Now, you know, there's certain greats in this world. There's, of course, you know, Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, some great vocalists that we all, either grew up with or we just think these are phenomenal. Patsy Cline. But 12 years after Tammy Wynette's death at 55, her glamour and the graceful sadness of her voice are alive again in a new exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. Which I think is phenomenal, especially after they went through the floods. So this is great. Tammy Wynette, First Lady of Country Music, which runs through June 12th, features more than 1,000 artifacts from Wynette's personal and professional life. The exhibit eschews tabloid exploited topics such as her painkiller addiction, lovely, frequent hospitalizations, and suspicious kidnapping claim. I mean, she was a colorful woman, let's face facts. Instead, her story is presented through her contributions to country music. Thank you. As an artist whose songs paralleled the troubles of her own life and whose fashion sense set the standard for the glammed-up country goddess in designer gowns. So the museum staffers edited a six-hour highlight reel of Wynette's performances and interviews to 39 minutes to accompany the exhibit. The clips range from a 1967 performance of Your Good Girl Is Gonna Go Bad on the syndicated Those Stoneman's TV show, to a 1992 appearance with the KLF on the BBC's Top of the Pop singing Justified and Ancient. Don't you just love those titles?
It's like you ripped out my heart and you drove over it with your 18-wheel truck.
A D-I-V-O. I mean, come on.
You know what? Stand By Your Man. Was that her? Okay.
Yep.
Who can forget the Blues Brothers singing Stand By Your Man in the Country Western Bar, and people were throwing beer bottles at them through the chicken wire?
It seems like a salon in Wynette's home included a hair dryer. So she's going to have it in the. There's going to be her clothes, her care, her Grammy. And I just think it should be spectacular. And she really was and still is a legend that lives on. Tammy Wynette.
You're right.
You're going to Nashville, make sure you check it out.
Okay. Hey, we got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:43 in the morning. Going to be a little warm today. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, it is going to be hot, and it's been hot. Yesterday was a record, 110. Espresso Joe's had all those iced coffees, and they still have that. Plus, any type of coffee you might want to buy while you're in there, and the girls fix it up 40 or 50 different ways. So try and figure out, how many choices do you have? You know, how many choices in life do you have? Then you have, of course, you walk back to the finest walk-in humidor in the state. If you like those cigars, they have all types of accessories for any type of tobacco products. And then, of course, the community room that different groups use. You go in there and you can sip your iced drink and use the Wi-Fi there, the free Wi-Fi. So Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley do a lot for this. You know, a lot of the veterans organizations meet there before they take off, and they do their different duties that day, you know, going up to IGO, the Patriot Guard Riders, the Missing in America Project, the Old Guard, American Legion. It's a place to meet. They've got the parking lot there. And then they go to there to honor our veterans. And speaking of honoring our veterans, we have, at times, been where Code Pink is. Code Pink is a group of anti-war, anti-military activists that have, I think they started 8-9 years ago, maybe longer. They're the ones, I guess, they've done so many things. If you'll see them sometimes in hearings or something, they'll jump up and display a pink outfit or a pink boa, and they go into the attack mode. And I guess the most famous one, and one closest to us, of course, was down in Oakland at Berkeley, where they shut down the Marine Recruiting Center. And the city of Berkeley, city council composed of the Three Stooges plus probably two or three others, said that the Marine Corps is not welcome in the city of Berkeley. Well, the outcry on that, the group of voices, the thousands and hundreds of thousands of voices that screamed about that, including legislators from Sacramento, showed Berkeley their error. I mean, a huge error. And trying to say the Marine Corps is not welcome in Berkeley, that recruiting office. Well, Code Pink was right in the middle of that. And in fact, when this was going on, a lot of other people went down to counter-protest this. And why am I bringing this up? Well, first of all, there is a Code Pink organization in town here. And we have invited them on the show a couple of times, because I think they had something at one of the recruiting offices down there. But they did not choose to appear. Everybody that comes on the show gets a fair shot. You know, everybody, I mean, and, you know, ACLU, candidates, medical marijuana proponents, you know, everybody gets a fair shot here. It's a chance. It's a community station. And whether you agree with everything that's said on it is really, that's not the idea. The idea is, though, that you have a place that you can call in and say, hey, look, this is what I think. Now, sometimes, because it's called Free Fire Radio, means that some other people may call in and disagree with you. But that's okay. That's what the idea is. It's open line. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Jerry Brown went to a fundraiser put on by Jody Evans and the leaders, one of the leaders of Code Pink, and raised lots of money for his gubernatorial campaign. And according to a retired Marine colonel named Bucky Peterson, he said, I am deeply troubled and disappointed that Jerry Brown went to the home of Jody Evans, one of the leaders of Code Pink, last weekend to raise thousands of dollars. Sadly, Jody Evans and her Code Pink associates have taunted the mothers of heroes who gave their lives in combat, telling Debbie Lee that her son deserved to die in Iraq if he was stupid enough to go over there. The part about that is that, you know, I'm going by on what somebody else says here. I've read what the mother says, Debbie Lee, and she says this happened to her. But the bottom line on this is that should a gubernatorial or a candidate for anything who espouses his support of the veterans and what they have done, for this country. Does taking money from Code Pink, is that money tainted? Is it something that should be acknowledged that, you know, perhaps there's better ways of saying things? Code Pink has the right to say and do anything they want. That gift was bestowed on them by, of course, our Constitution. Our Constitution has been stood up for, of course, by the veterans. And yet they denigrate the veterans. They want to shut down the recruiting office and this. And Jerry Brown has taken money from them. I don't know. You know, and of course, this, and in full disclosure, this was sent to us because this was part of a Meg Whitman campaign release. And Meg Whitman, of course, would let that be known. Is it wrong? Should Jerry Brown accept money for that from Code Pink? How about accepting money from a industry, perhaps, that pollutes the oceans or the air? What about that? I mean, there's questions on this. But frankly, I have seen Code Pink in action. And the one time that we have been face-to-face with Code Pink is back right after I got back from Iraq. And we went back to D.C. And it was Veterans for Change. And went back, and Linda and I went back and saw, you know, a variety of different legislatures. Well, we never saw Boxer or Feinstein. They were too busy to see us. But we did see their minions. We did get to see Wally Herger and McCain and all that. John Kerry. Saw John Kerry. Code Pink was out there and protesting. And when we had the Gold Star Mothers and the Blue Star Mothers. Those are mothers who have lost children in combat. And Blue Star are ones that are serving. Code Pink was there and was protesting and really getting into it, because here came the congressional leaders. There's like 40 congressional leaders that came out to have, you know, to talk and have their photos taken. The one time they stopped, now this was the group back there, the one time they did stop is when the Gold Star Mother was talking. I want to be fair about it. They did. But the second she stopped talking, everything else was off. I've never seen so many men in pink tutus was that day. Anyway, I found that interesting. Carl and DeBott, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and DeBott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, North State.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 7:54 in the morning. It's our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460, and the chat room is wide open and going for it.
Currently 72 degrees. Going to be high today of 99. Oh, we may even go over to triple digits. We'll see. Yesterday was 110. Oh, I have a clarification to make. A Movies in the Park is tomorrow night. I'm not sure why I've got my dates confused, but that is Friday night, tomorrow at dusk. It's Movies in the Park. I Enjoy Magazine, and they bring that to you, as well as so many wonderful local charities that are the recipients for the month. Also tomorrow night, we will be out at Anselmo Vineyards. You may call 474-5546. I understand the music room where we're doing the music is sold out, but you never know. There's all kinds of places on the balcony and such. And we're getting ready. I'm looking forward to going to Washington, D.C. We're going to be going to Arlington and visiting some things, but we're going to, of course, pay honor and due respect to your cousin.
Yeah, James Roche, Lieutenant, he's a warrant officer, WO4 in the Army. He was a helicopter pilot. He was shot down in Vietnam and shot up pretty badly. He was the recipient of 2 Silver Stars and a couple Purple Hearts, many air medals there. Medically retired finally. A few years after that, I ended up losing his left leg. Served honorably. In the service, of course, was a true hero, and had a full life. It kind of caught up with him this year, and in the fact of the injuries, and Agent Orange. Agent Orange was part of it. He had a kidney replaced, and he just never recovered from that. So we're going to be back there, and his services will be next Tuesday.
So Monday and Tuesday, Mark Beecham will be holding the chair, and
right.
he's going to have.
Well, he's got a lot of.
He's got
a lot of
guests.
Great guests coming in. Here.
We'll put that on the site, so you'll see who is on. And then Wednesday.
Wednesday will be Trish Clark, former supervisor from Shasta County, and also RC Anselmo will be out here. Last time they were on, they took on everybody, and so it should be. I've got the. We have our producer is going to be our most experienced producer is going to be sitting here watching the whole thing. You know, his hand hovering over the sound. So, hey, you know, one other thing, too, is that we talked about it a lot yesterday. And because of just the timing of it, the Jeff Miller, the owner of the Dry Creek Station, his wife was in here the day before. And yesterday, it burnt. The Dry Creek Station burnt down. And we talked about it.
Tragedy.
And it is a true tragedy because they've done so much for the community. And luckily, Jeff said that they do have insurance, and that he said by Wednesday afternoon he said he was ready to start over. And he's shifting into the rebuilding mode. He can't do anything that happened. You know what? Anything that happened before, you can't do anything about it. You're absolutely right. You can just try and say, you know, if it's a personal mistake, I'm going to try not to do that again. You know, I'm going to really work it. That's just not something, you know, I don't want to do that again. If you have a mistake, you know, or something like this, a tragedy like this, and what you do is, it is. It's easy to roll over. It's easy to quit. Obviously, Jeff and his family are not going to do that. And we hope that Dry Creek Station gets built quickly because it is a great place, and it does so much for the community. I mean, the firefighters, it was right across the road from the fire station, the volunteer fire station. And I know they were there, and they were working it. Who knows what would have happened, if they hadn't even been that close. But, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to Jeff, his wife, and his family to get this thing back on track and to let us start going out there and enjoying that great food again. You know, other things that are going on is everything you read, it seems like, has to do with the economy, you know, that the recession. We're good news, you know, that we're pulling out of Iraq. We're leaving 50,000 troops there to help. But already, is Al Qaeda raising its head there? We're not sure. Afghanistan, that they have, you know, with the idea that they have put a time limit on when we're going out, even though Obama has said that, and they're backing off on that. They've and according to the record searchlight and something they saw, you know, that and I don't doubt it, is that intercepts that the Marines have shown that the Taliban are saying, hey, we just need to hang on till next summer, and then the Americans will be leaving. Well, of course, this makes things a lot tougher on the Marines, the Army, anybody, all of our warriors that are there. Right now, they should be planning on a long war. Afghanistan, we've been in there off and on, seriously. Of course, since 2002, and then out and then back in again. This is not something that's going to be done by next July. It will be lucky if it's done 3 or 4 Julys from now. And the question is do we want to do that? Is this something that we want to keep boots on the ground there for a long time? And it's going to, you know, it's a question that's going to come up in 2012 in the elections. How much longer do you want to stay in Afghanistan? What are the options, and what happens if we leave early? You know, when we left last time and we just left a vacuum, Taliban came in. And then, you know, the reports yesterday that the Taliban were gassing school children, girls, and killing them with gas because the only thing they wanted to do was go to school. And these are the type of people we're fighting over there. And they're not going to... They're not going to just go away. Anybody that kills little girls because they want to go to school will kill us in a second. Now, this is Carlin DeBott. Our guest in the next hour, we're going to be talking economics. We're going to be talking what's going on in business. We're going to be talking Eric Wittstrom, our guest from Five Star Bank. This is Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 in the morning. It is August the 26th. What a great day this is going to be. It's going to be a little warm, but it's going to be under triple digits, under 100.
It's currently 74 degrees. It's going to be high today of 99.
Yeah. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com, and our phone lines here are 605-4567. You can go to our website, KCNR1460. You can start chatting with us, as many people have done, and are sending us all types of little ideas. You know, our guest today, and we do this on a regular basis because we enjoy talking about business, and most of the time, we don't understand, or at least I say we, I don't understand exactly when they're talking about certain points of the business. And so we bring in our expert, Eric Wittstrom from Five Star Bank.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
We're great, Eric. Thanks for coming by.
It's my pleasure.
You know, I'm seeing in the paper today.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that or not.
I haven't yet.
Well, it says, unfortunately, for the record, search, a lot of people say that. I have not seen the paper. I, for one, read it every day.
Well, I do, too. But
I know.
But I didn't get up early enough to get out there and get it off the board.
Sorry, Silas. Come on. Ken, take a joke. Come on. Analyst, another recession seems likely. Cutbacks, weak home sales, raise fear, economy is slipping.
Yes.
Is that where it's going?
I think it is.
When they say double-digit recession, I mean, was that something I misheard this morning on my way running out of the house?
No, I heard that too, that the double dip or the double digit recession. I think that, you know, and I've read articles and seen statistics about how, we still are in the first recession that just is a prolonged recession. Any way you look at it, the economy continues to kind of putt along, but putt along slowly. I think, what were the last... The first piece that the shoe that dropped in was the housing market, and that dropped like a rock. Now we're seeing the retail commercial market drop. A lot of retail sales continue to be down low. People that have been able to maybe hang on through savings or through credit are now getting to the end. We're seeing a lot of retail sales pressure right now.
And, you know, and from what I understand, under the new banking regulations now, they are, you know, the credit card fix is really going to have an impact on people that use credit cards, on ATMs, debit cards, all of this.
Yes.
Can you address that at all?
Yes. You know, there's been a number of things that are that will affect that, and some of it is our legislation where... banks made a lot of money on overdraft fees, and people may be abusing their credit cards, and that was what a lot of the major banks were relying on for income. And through some of the recent legislation, it's reduced the amount that they can charge for credit card overdraft fees. Also, they're in the Wall Street Reform Act. There's a lot of what are being categorized as consumer protection laws that are really designed to reduce revenue through some of the finance companies. And so they're looking for other ways to increase the revenue so they can stick around. So we're going to see, from a consumer's point of view, a wholesale change in, at least in the large financial institutions, in how we get banking products.
Okay, now we're going to take a break, and let's hold that thought, because I want to come back, because I understand is that they are the financial institutions are on the verge right now of literally losing billions of dollars that they used to make.
And we are taking your calls at 605-4567, the hotline. Ask Eric Wittstrom questions about banking, questions about the economy. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:12 in the morning, August 26th, getting close to the weekend.
It's currently 74 degrees. Going to be high today of 99. The weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. Our guest today is Eric Woodstrom. Our chat room is open. You can go to KCNR1460.com, ask a question through the chat, or email us, Linda@KCNR1460.com. And the hotline is 605-4567. We're on a roll.
Eric, we were talking about banking and the fact that, you know, it's going to, the reason that I like to have you here and we want to talk about this is we're having a lot of problems in Reading.
Yes.
And we're having a lot of problems, and right now it's a microcosm. We're a microcosm of the whole United States, maybe even the world. Right here we're having city council races, and a lot of the issues boils down to really money coming into the city coffers.
Yep.
Now, to go back to where we were right before the break was, the banks are going to be losing billions of dollars because of the new regulations.
Yes.
They've got to make it up somehow.
They've got to make up somehow.
How?
They're going to start nickel and diming us on other banking services. And, you know, the major banks we've seen already start doing that. When we kind of group the banks into maybe three different groups, we've got the national banks, we've got the Bank of America's and Wells Fargo that are spread across the country, Chase Bank. We've got regional banks that serve a region of the country that is maybe smaller, and then we've got our community banks. And when we look at the national banks, those are the ones that have been heavily reliant on consumer business, on you and me and everybody else having a checking account where they'd get a little bit of money out of us, you know, some way for having our accounts there. But they didn't in the last 8 or 10 years charge us for having an account or a monthly service charge. Well, those are coming back, I think, at the big banks. You can expect Bank of America has started in the Southeast, and they're going to start rolling across the country where they're now charging you a monthly fee up to $15 a month, which, you know, is significant, really, from going from zero to 15, for having traditional checking account where you get a statement where you can come into the bank and make deposits. Now, they'll start waiving that fee if you avoid the bank, if you avoid coming in, if you're really, you know, no customer contact with them, which is hard, though.
Yeah, so if you don't go in and see a teller,
right,
they won't charge you.
Right.
But as soon as you walk in and say, Hi, Louise. That's
$15. She says, hi, Carl.
And that's it. That's all it takes.
Yep, that's all
essentially
it takes.
You know, if I put in a, I put a deposit in for $50, right? Or I want to go in there and I want to talk to them about, you know, there's something wrong here. You know,
want to see if a check cleared or didn't clear.
As soon as you do that, it costs.
It's going to start costing you. Or it's going to cost you and they may waive it if you don't use it. So we're going to see that. We're also going to see higher annual fees on debit cards and credit cards that are issued from, you know, from national banks, because that's such a they used to get money from merchants. Now the new Saving Wall Street legislation has minimized the amount of money they can charge the merchant, so they're going to charge you, the cardholder.
When is this all going to start taking place?
It's taking place. The large banks are working on getting their programs in place right now. Bank of America has started charging. Wells Fargo has started charging in the Midwest, and it'll start rolling west, you know, and hit those of us that have accounts at the major banks. Now the good news is your community bank, who has relied traditionally on lending money at people at a rate and taking in deposits at a lower rate and making money on the interest spread, will continue to do that and probably continue to offer free checking. So, you know, like we have no intention to raise our fees. Our fees, you know, for most of our business customers, it continues to be free checking, because that's a service we see that goes with other banking products that we have.
Yeah, I was just we have here that we were something we waited till you were here, is that the Federal Reserve has taken its first steps to crack down on debit card transaction fees, and the banks lobbied in vain against the amendment included in the Financial Reform Act, which you just said,
yep,
that limits some of their transaction fees, and banks and analysts say billions of dollars.
Yep.
And so they've got to make it up somehow.
They've got to make it up.
And so they're just going to keep... Yeah.
Yeah. The debit card fees that had been... If you went and bought something for $100 on your debit card, the merchant ate $2 on that.
Mm-hmm.
They would get $98, and the banks would get $2. They get about a 2%, maybe 2.5%, depending on the type of merchant. That's now going to be limited to less than 1%. And so half of the bank's revenue from merchant charges has gone away. They need to make that up, and they're going to put it on the backs of the consumer.
Yeah, somewhere. Yep. Okay. Hey, let's go to the phones here. John, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Bob, Sean, and Eric.
Good morning.
Well,
morning,
you have to write all those down, don't you?
Eric, I have a question for you.
Sure.
And, you know, you're in a unique position being that you're a local banker because it involves you in our city as well as in the banking business. And the other night I listened to our mayor say that if the loan that the city had taken from the risk management funds that the city has were paid back, our entire reserve would be wiped out and virtually the city would be broke. Can you tell me what Reading's current credit rating is, and if that happens, what it's going to be?
Well, John, yeah, that's a great question. We have a little bit of banking involvement with the city, but we're not a lender to the city. The city borrows money in the bond market. The city has always maintained a relatively high credit rating relative to their peers, and they continue to do that. One of the criteria that the bond rating agencies use in establishing that rating is their reserve, the level reserves. And you know, I followed that debate, and it's been in the paper about whether we should dip into the reserves, lower it below 5% or not. And, you know, 5% of the city's general fund is a lot of money. But one of the reasons they maintain that is so that they can maintain a good credit rating. They continue to have a good credit rating.
Right.
Their revenue balances relative to their expenses. If that drops below 5%, their credit rating will drop down, and their interest costs will go up. The credit rating is used to set the interest rates that they can borrow on bond money.
If they paid back that risk management loan and depleted that fund, then they would have a difficult time getting...
Yeah, they'd have a lower credit rating. All of their bond financing, which they have significant short and long-term bond financing, it's very typical, the rates would go higher, so their expenses would go up. So it's a balancing act.
Eric, exactly what you're talking about there, if this did happen...
Yes.
Are the banks or the lenders or the bond agencies or whatever able to increase the percentage rate not on future loans but on current loans?
In
that
some
happens like they do on credit cards.
Yeah, and on their in some cases each bond is a little bit different, but in some cases yes, certainly the short term bonds that they use to fund projects or they'll have a specific bond finance project, they'll draw on that money, and then once the project's complete, the interest rate's set, and it amortizes over 30 years or 40 years, the bond. And
I have one last thing I want to ask you about, and this is a little curmudgeonly on my part, but I would really like to have your take on it, just
sure,
straight up, okay? I kind of posted this online. I said, I resent the misinformation in general BS concerning the economy. I understand the concept of being positive.
Yes.
However, reality is there was no true conclusion to the last recession that they were talking about, that we're going into another one. There was hopeful thinking, and reality is there's an ongoing recession, possibly driven by the stock manipulators driving stock and taking profit. That's what I see.
I agree with you. I think that's a big component of it. I don't think we ever got out of a recession.
I would agree. That's what I wanted to
hear. Yeah, certainly on the West Coast, you know, over the 30 years that I've been in business and banking at, you know, at different levels, both at the federal level on policy matters and, you know, now on the local level, the community banking, there's been several ups and downs. the East Coast tends to publish being out of a recession about 18 months before we feel anything on the West Coast. Well, we started hearing from major news sources that were out of the recession, you know, some time ago, 6 to 12 months ago. And you know, the normal course would have that it'd roll across the country, and we start seeing some light in 12 to 18 months. Well, we don't see that, and I don't think we ever did get out of it. You know, it began with the housing crisis, the prices dropping. We had over-leveraged housing. That's not going to change until real income goes up. Home prices won't go up until people's real income goes up. It's just a matter of, it's a mathematical function. It's nothing more than that.
Hey, John, we're 4 minutes over our break time here. No, that's okay. No, these are things that are important. That we need. This is one of the reasons that we're
concerned about this Rockefeller principle of driving the economy by false innuendo. Yeah. But
okay,
we'll talk about it another time.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
We've got to
take a break. Oh, no problem.
This
is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Eric Wistrom from Five Star Bank, and we're talking about what's going on. Is the recession over? No. Is it the first one over? No. We're still there. Join us after these messages. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Eric Wistrom. It is 8:26 in the morning, and you were talking about, Linda, you were talking about...
Well, no, but we were going to come back with something else, and I totally, you know...
About Ronnie Deutsch.
Well, yeah, we talked about that at the break, and I said, Eric, what do you think about this Ronnie Deutsch thing out of Sacramento who... I guess the attorney general is suing her or fined her so much because of the fact that the whole idea of having people who've overextended their credit and said, I could save you thousands of dollars. And
yes.
Explain that to
us.
Well,
you know, and this, I think Ronnie Deutsch is one of, you know, many firms that try to help or that advertise to help people get out of obligations. And you know, in most cases, it's they're a negotiating tool, if you will. But they don't have any magic any more than you do yourself to directly deal with it. And it costs you money. I think, you know, we hear a lot of advertisements for people that talk about the credit card. What is it, the Credit Card Elimination Act? There's no Credit Card Elimination Act.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, if you charge money on your credit card, you owe it. And what they'll do is you'll pay a large fee to somebody to try and negotiate a settlement with a credit card company or put you through a bankruptcy.
Don't you think this is kind of indicative of some of our societal, you know, I guess it would be downfall
as far as
I hate to say that. I mean, as far as the moral compass, because I'm not saying we here, but we can see that. A lot of people will just, let me go out and buy it, let me go out and charge it, let me build it, do whatever, and I'm just, whatever, I'll worry about it later, I'll just go bankrupt. And, you know, this is one of those organizations that promises to help you get out of something that was really stupid.
Yes.
That you did.
That you got yourself into.
Exactly.
Well, now, that's, you know, there's some very legitimate credit consumer credit counseling companies.
Yes.
Most of them are nonprofit. They're supported by federal and state money to some extent, and they try and help people work through problems. But there's a whole another industry of foreclosure relief, credit card relief, and tax relief companies that mostly charge you large fees to give you advice that you can do yourself,
right.
and have no guarantee that they can get things done.
Well, we've got a minute for the break, but you know, and people in many cases are desperate and will go there and use their last bit of money because people have lost
their
jobs.
And that's what they're feeding on.
People are, you know, are overextended. And a lot of times it's not because of something they did on purpose as it was they lost their jobs. Yep. And so they're grasping at these last things. So what we're saying is take a good look at these companies because there are some that national syndicated shows advertise.
Yes. No, they're huge supporters.
It doesn't mean that we support that, but those are ones that come with the shows and that take a good look at what they're promising and what you can really get out of that. And we don't want our listeners to get caught up in a could be a scam. Anyway, we've got to take a quick break here. Our guest is Eric Whitstone. We're talking economy. We're going to be talking something else, too. We're going to be talking KIXE.
Wow.
How does that tie in to banking? Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. August 26th. It is.
We love Journey.
What?
We love Journey.
We do. It can't help it.
Air guitar over here.
That's right. And, you know, not only that, but you can hear that. I listen to that. And then I go into the Cypress Square Barbershop.
I love the segue.
Man's Last Stronghold. Yep. This part of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right off Athens Avenue. You know what? The DC, Tim, and the Man in Black. And I keep saying that, but these guys are great guys. And the people you meet there are just, you know, they're one of a kind when you go in there. And you get your hair cut. You don't get it styled. You don't get it, you know, blown dry. You don't get your fingers done. You know, you may get the finger if you say something there, but that's about it, you know? And it is man's last stronghold, because when you come in, the first thing you see is antelope heads on the wall. I say, did you shoot those? No, I just came with the store. You know, and I'm thinking, these are like antiques. They've been around 50 years. That barbershop has been there 50 years. So in other words, when Rich Bay turned 21, he got his hair cut right there 50 years ago this week. Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue. Man's Last Stronghold.
Our guest today is Eric Whitstrom. Good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Okay, on everyone's lips here in the North State, KIXE.
KIXE, and the question is, how does that fit in with banking?
How does that fit in with banking?
How does that fit in with banking?
Well, I don't know how it does, but I was recently elected to the board of directors of KIXE. I joined the same time the new manager came in July 1st. So I had my first meeting in July, my second meeting actually last night. And, you know, there's a lot of exciting things going on with KIXE and our public broadcasting. And some of them have kind of reached a crescendo in the paper and, you know, on the news here in town. And, you know, some of the things that we're we're doing at the station are we're looking at the station. It's a diamond in the rough in the North State. I think it has tremendous amount of opportunity to focus on local issues, local
talent,
and part of the whole process of getting a new manager in, getting some new people on the board, is to reevaluate everything that's going on down there, and from the programming side to the fundraising side to the operations. And there's a lot of exciting things going on. Well, one of the first moves that the manager made on the programming side was to drop Democracy Now! It was aired at 5 a.m. Monday through Friday. There's the papers cataloged the history. I wasn't aware of the history. I guess that there was a group in town that had approached them in the 2005 time, yeah, to put
Doug,
it on.
Doug Craig and his
and
Doug's got a show here on Sundays, by the way. Wake up
to put it on. It had been at a different time slot, moved to 5 a.m. I don't know all the background on why, but one of the things that Phil brought to the board was, you know, I think there's some programming changes we need to make. Let's free up some room for local community activities, local talent, some different things, and we're looking at other programs that are more national in nature that we may move around, and he dropped Democracy Now! And for a couple of reasons. One, as he's explained, it presents itself as a news show, and it does talk about current events in it, but with a theme. I mean, I think it presents their opinion of current events or somebody's opinion of current events, and there's nothing wrong with that. But his point was, as a news show, it's an opinion show, and let's, if it's going to be an opinion show, let's call it an opinion show. So he pulled it off the air. It had been off the air for 2.5 weeks, and there was 2 phone calls about it, both of them very nice phone calls, asking, you know, did you guys drop it? Is it a different time? And then the Record Searchlight wrote an article. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history, as they say. Friday, the article hit. I think it was the most blogged article that week or for some period of time. 300 entries back and forth from people purportedly watching the show, but they didn't notice it had been off for 2.5 weeks. And it is on other.
There's other ways to get it.
Yeah, you can get it on the internet. It's on other satellite. The satellite companies carry it. There's other ways to get it for people that want it in the North State. And we at KIC just felt it wasn't consistent with, you know, the public broadcasting theme.
Well, we received our first email about that yesterday.
Okay.
And thinking that, you know, that we had been unfair to the people that opposed Phil Smith. You know, whether you like it or not, it's an industry.
Yes.
And it's got to pay at least partially for itself. Our tax dollars go into this, but it has to also pay partially. And you have to make decisions on yes. that. And that's what a programming director does. You know,
yes.
you know, you're, you know, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, yeah. they all go.
Well, people are very outraged, and you can see in our chat room right now the people back and forth talking about that they're upset that this thing was dropped, that they should it should be on at nighttime, and that they think yeah. he's going to have a hard time as station manager. And so, you know, you can go onto the chat room if you want on KCNR 1460 and interact with your thoughts, as well if you don't want to call.
Yeah.
But you can call here.
But you can call here. I'd be happy to get other, you know, other opinions on it. And, you know, it's the reaction has been from the progressive party and the people with the progressive, you know,
viewpoints
in town very consistently. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, see, there's not a on KIXE, there's not a conservative viewpoint presented. And so one of the topics we've talked to the board is if we're going to have viewpoints on there or opinions, that we have both viewpoints presented so that people have, you know, can see both sides of the story. And, you know, I think this is just a small move. We thought we were, you know, it was clear that it wasn't very well viewed at 5 a.m. in the morning. And it doesn't mean to say that it won't come on at some future point. If we can get an opposing viewpoint, there's a lot of things that right now we're in the process of reformatting at the station, and looking at or taking a fresh look at everything. And I think that what our goal is to really present a powerful public broadcasting statement for the North State. It covers 9 counties up here. It's a very broad distribution.
Absolutely, and we've got to take a break here. But you know, Phil is going to be on our show. I think it's going to be.
Not next week, but
early September. We're having him back on again. We're going to spend a whole hour talking about this. Public broadcasting system.
Yes.
Public. Broadcasting system.
Yep.
Not Carl and Linda's Free Fire Radio.
Or not Eric's
this
opinion.
This is public broadcasting system that our dollars pay for.
Yes.
So this is something that we all need to get involved in. And I personally, I think it's great. All of a sudden, at KIXE, nobody's even heard of KIXE, and now everybody says, you can't do that. Well, get involved just like this, you know, and help support this station. Get involved and see what you want to have on there. You got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:45 in the morning on August 26th, and I'd like to clear up what I just said. I've been pummeled in the chat room. Yes, KIXE has been here. We have participated on KIXE. Yes, it is a local institution. Absolutely. What I meant to say was, it hasn't been in the news. It hasn't been a barn burner like this. So, stop the threats. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody threatened it. But you're right. It is. You know what? We have been down there for fundraisers. We have been on the air. We want to raise money. We want this.
Thousands of people in the community that participate in KIXE.
Yes.
In a very positive way.
Yes. And we want KIXE to be a success because it's public broadcasting.
Yeah. Right.
It's community.
It's community.
Just
it's
like
all of ours.
This is. This
it
just
is.
Like our
it
radio
belongs
station.
To all of us.
It's
correct.
It. So, yeah. Anyway, okay. We're going to have Phil back on here, and I think it's the 9th, but I have to make sure. I think it's something like that. We'll come out and before the show is over and say that, say when. He'll be back to talk about what's going on. I hope that people continue to be
And you guys can always call in, you know. You can always call in. Sometimes it's better to just, like, you know, speak your piece. I know everybody writes, and that's really good, too, but... You know. Anyway, Eric, let's shift gears here a little bit. Let's talk about failing banks, and one of which was recently in Chico.
Yes. No. You know, through this recession, the banks have taken hits. We've seen the major banks take huge hits. The government has helped bail some of them out, and for the most part, the larger banks have paid back the money that the government gave them. And that, but we're starting. You know, we've seen last year bank failures were higher than they've been since the 80s. There was about 90 banks that failed nationwide. And so far this year, there's about 118, I think it was, as of last Friday. And the regulators are closing banks that don't have sufficient capital to continue to operate. One in our area closed last Friday afternoon. It was a Chico-based bank, Butte Community Bank. Was closed by the regulators.
That's around here.
There's three offices in Shasta County. There's two in Redding and one in Anderson, and the bank failed. I mean, what happens when a bank fails? There's a lot of reasons why a bank fails. We don't need to get into that, but from most people's how it may affect you or I or anybody else is that on Friday they close the bank and. There's two things that can happen. Either Monday morning, it'll open up as a new bank. The FDIC will do what they call an assisted transaction. The FDIC, the government, will take over as receiver of the bank and sell it and open it the next morning or the next business day, Monday. Or it'll just go into liquidation at that time. The FDIC, for every depositor, will just write checks to you if you have money lower than the FDIC insurance limits, which... You know, through this, they've raised the limits to $250,000 generally. It's been more comforting to people because there are a lot of businesses that will float through more than $100,000, and they want to stay protected. But if you have more than $250,000 in a bank, you need to be conscious of how stable that bank is. Is it making money? Is it property capitalized? Is it under a formal agreement? All that information is public and available to you. And if you're unsure, talk to your banker or talk to somebody about it.
Well, I know that 190. Did you say 190 banks have failed?
I think it's 180 something banks this year.
Well, we were talking to a good friend of ours that are in the car business. At over 6,000
car dealerships
failed last year. 6,000, and the year before that was like 600, and the year before that was a lot less than that. 6,000 car dealerships, 181 banks.
And we're going to see more banks.
I know.
Yeah, it's just beginning.
And then you take a look at what's happening to the people. People have got lines of credit out there, who have business lines of credit, and then because the feds are putting pressure on the banks they're at, they're calling these lines of credit in.
Yeah.
So they can't pay them. And so because they can't pay them, now they're going out of business. And yet the money is being funneled from the federal government, our tax dollars, into banks who are now shutting down businesses.
I don't
understand this concept.
We're not through it either. It doesn't make common sense either, and we're not through it. Our bank, fortunately, we don't have any regulatory pressure. Our exams that every bank gets have gone very smoothly. They continue. Last time they said we'll see you in 18 months, which is you're normally on an annual cycle with them.
Yeah.
So. But there's a number of banks in our area that are under formal agreements with the government that restricts their ability to lend. And all that, once again, is public. I'm not going to get into saying who is or who isn't, but you should ask that question.
Yeah.
It's publicly available. And
it's a type of thing is that maybe it's a bank you've done business with for 20 or 30 years,
yes.
And then all of a sudden, boom,
they change the policy. And they take your line of credit away, and you're out of business.
And it's because the feds are leaning on like that.
Because
okay, we've got to take a quick break here and come back with our last segment. This is Colin DeBott. Our guest is Eric Wittstrom from Five Star Bank. We've been talking KIXE we've just got any number of subjects. So join us after these messages.
Back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:57 in the morning, or I'm sorry, 8:53 in the morning.
You're so precise.
Yeah, well, you know. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. It's going to, they're out on Airport Road. Doug Tooley, veteran of the 82nd Airborne, guarantees his work. Dish TV, he does surround sound. He is, we get phone calls from his former employee saying he's a great guy and he's a man of his word. You can't beat that. That's B&T Satellite off of Airport Road. Give him a call at 244-1988. Our guest is Eric Wittstrom. You know, Eric, we've been a little bit down today about certain things.
Yes.
There's got to be
beat up a lot of
okay,
things.
Okay, yeah, we have. Okay, let's talk silver lining stuff here. I mean, there's got to be good news here.
Well, there is good news, in banking and finance. And one of the things from the consumer's point of view is mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in 40 years. 30-year mortgages are at 4 1/8 this morning, 4.125%.
How did that happen?
It's the market is somewhat market driven by supply demand. Investors and their expectations for a return are low. They are comfortable buying mortgage bonds that they earn 3 or 4% on. Now, some of it is the government manipulating the mortgage bond market to keep those rates low to help stimulate sales. But what it means is for buyers, and most buyers today are buying foreclosed homes or properties that have been distressed, but there are a lot of first-time buyers, young individuals or couples that are starting a family. Homes are becoming much more affordable than they've ever been because of the cost of borrowing money. And we're back to more traditional lending where you need a down payment. It's tough for everybody to get a down payment. I remember my first house, we pinched and squeezed and band-aided that car together another year so that we could save a little bit of money to get our down payment. But for those that can get a down payment and have good credit, homes are more affordable now than they've been in many, many years.
Well, when you talk about good credit, what good credit is today and what good credit was maybe 5 years ago, what is the standard for good credit?
It's about a credit score of 680 or above is good credit. And really, that's achievable for most people. I think the average credit score nationwide is right around 680.
And how does one go about getting their credit score? Like, if they wanted to go online or find out today, I need to redo my loan. This is such a great rate.
Yes.
I want to take advantage of this.
Yes.
How do they find out their credit scores?
There's a number of all the credit agencies that maintain credit scores or established credit scores are obligated to give you the consumer your credit score once a year for free. So you can go to FICO, which is Fair Isaac Company, and get your credit score, or TransUnion. There's a number of different ones that take your payment histories and come up with a credit score. If you go online, you can usually find it or ask your banker. And there's a lot of ways to improve, fairly easy ways to improve your credit score. One is obviously pay the bills on time. Two is if you have a $5,000 credit card, don't have it at $5,000 outstanding the whole time. Revolve it. And if you're revolving it and you're paying your bills on time, your credit score is going to be well in excess of 680. So it's it's just back to kind of very disciplined, kind of common sense.
Like the way it used to be, instead of just stating how much money you made.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of the fog and mirror loans.
Well, we know a young lady that works up in Anselmo's. In fact, she's head of one of their departments there. Bought her first house.
That's exciting.
And it is. And her parents helped her with the down payment, but she she has saved and she has. They qualified her for it, so she just bought her house, and she, I think she's like 23, 24.
She works really hard.
She is absolutely a hard worker, but now she's got her first place. And we're just as excited, I think, about it as she. Well, probably not, but we're pretty excited about it too.
Pride of ownership.
You see that? Yeah.
Yes. Well, and I have we have two kids in college. We've got a sophomore and junior in college, and both of them are thinking about that now. Where last year maybe they were thinking about what am I going to do on summer break. They're starting to think about what I'm going to do when I get out of college. Can I afford a house? And they're thinking, and they look out there, and housing is becoming affordable to them.
It is.
It may not be their dream house, but you know that if you're, it's unrealistic to have your dream house as your first house. We all have, you know, started small and build up.
Well, that's the idea, and that was the whole idea behind home ownership. It's not a right.
It's not a right.
A home.
And not
it's
everybody.
A privilege.
Not everybody should have a home. Own a home.
Own a home. Yeah,
like,
everybody should have a home.
Everybody
but not,
should have a home.
But not,
yeah, not everybody should own a home.
No,
it's
and not,
can
not
afford
it. Not everybody should have kids.
Right.
I mean, I know that's a weird analogy, but not everybody should have kids. Not everybody should have a house because they don't know how to respect it properly. The ownership of what it is to really to take place in what it is to really be a neighbor. And I mean, that sounds probably so off the wall. But, I mean, when you buy a house in a neighborhood, you're buying into a community.
Right. Right.
But you can do that, too, with rentals. I mean, if somebody rents a place, they can become part of the community.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about, though, is the fact is that because you want a house doesn't mean that you qualify to have a house. And I'm not talking about being a great moral person. I know many people that, you know, before that,
many immoral people.
Well, I know very many moral people, and they're great people, but
yes,
just they're you know, they had to rent, and then when they buy that first house, the opportunity right now for our citizens to buy a home is greater than any time it has been probably
in the last decade, 10 or 15 years. Yes,
that's right, and that because they meet the standards to do it.
Yep.
So I think personally, if there's one bright part of this whole mess that we're in, it allows those young people, or allows those people for the first time to have a home and have that pride of ownership. This is mine. And, you know, and it does, I believe, make a huge difference. Just like
I
you
have
said,
a handful
darling.
Of friends right now that have purchased homes for the first time.
Yep.
And it's just
it's kind of exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yep.
Very exciting for this this new love in their lives.
Well,
their home.
Eric, again, as usual, Five Star Bank.
Thank you.
Comes through for us here. Comes on, talks about everything.
No, thank you very much for the time.
Well, you know, it's you touch on everything. You know, the banking, you know, the good things, the bad things, KIXE, and we're going to be we're going to have more of that, and we'll talk some more about that tomorrow. You know, when we're coming back on, our guest tomorrow is Doug LaMalfa. We'll come on tomorrow, and we'll be talking. I'm going to ask him questions about what's happening up in Trinity County and what he thinks can happen. What can be done up there to those people to save those citizens up there of what they're going through right now in the marijuana wars that are occurring up there. Now, this is Carl Underbott on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.